What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester, coming to you late tonight. The Lakers played some extra basketball this evening, losing, unfortunately, to the San Antonio Spurs, 143-142. Crazy, crazy game. A lot of back and forth action. Kind of a choke job, really, by both teams, and we're going to dive into that here in a little bit. But I'll introduce my two guests today. Not really guests. I mean, we're always kind of on this thing together. But Hani Ahmadian. Hani is my Pau Gasol, which is fitting because the Lakers played against Pau Gasol today. So, Hani, how are you holding up after that that tough loss?
I mean, you said they played extra basketball, but that entire game was extra. There was just so much going on. I still can't really wrap my head around it, but we're going to try and talk ourselves through it.
Yeah, we're going to try. We're going to try. This might just be a whole, like, group therapy session. Like, that's all it's going to be. We need it after that game. That game was an experience. Let's just put it that way. Also joining us today is Jacob Rude. Jacob, you're staying up extra late because you're over there. You're out east. How are you holding up? Is your adrenaline still buzzing a little bit from that game?
It was after that LeBron three-pointer to send it to overtime, and then his and one, and then it all kind of came crashing down. But, I mean, it's one of the weirdest regular season games I can recall. It was we'll talk about it. That was just such a bizarre game. The numbers from this game are just wild. That was an experience.
It looked like basically like an all-star game. There wasn't a whole lot of defense played. There was a lot of points, a lot of back and forth, just a fast-paced game. It was crazy, very, very crazy. But, yeah, Lakers fall to 0-3, 143-142 in overtime at home to the Spurs in a game that looked like was out of reach, and then it looked like it was out of reach for the Spurs in overtime, and then Patty freaking Mills. Hits a game winner with 6.8 seconds to go. And then LeBron misses the fadeaway jumper that we've seen him hit a number of times. I remember the first time I ever saw him hit that kind of shot was against the Warriors in his first stint with the Cavs. And it was an incredible three over. I don't even remember who was over, but I think it was Roni Turioff, actually. But
Lakers legend.
Could have used Terry off guard and LaMarcus Aldridge today, but no. Like we said, crazy, crazy game. A lot of back and forth action. It was super entertaining. I mean, if you are an outside fan with no rooting interest in this game, that was a great basketball game, but a tough one for the Lakers to lose, especially because they really kind of had it in hand down the stretch there in overtime, and LeBron missed a couple of free throws. Lonzo kind of got caught watching the ball when Patty Mills hit that game winner. So a lot of mistakes down the stretch kind of gave this one away. Hani, I'm going to throw it to you first. I mean, what's your main takeaway from this game? I mean, I feel like there's a lot to choose from with a game like that.
Yeah, there's obviously so many things you can harp on, whether it was good things that happened, bad things that happened. I guess I'll try to stay optimistic for now, considering how brutal that loss was. But I'm really encouraged by how Kyle Kuzma played tonight. He struggled a little bit in the first two games, but he just had a crazy coming out party tonight. He had 37 points and 8 rebounds, took 25 shots to get there. Pretty efficient game overall. Hit 4 threes as well, which has obviously been an issue for the Lakers. So that was much needed. The major takeaway from that isn't just that, hey, Kuzma is still a good basketball player like he was last year, but he was in a better position to succeed in this game because Brandon Ingram and Rajon Rondo weren't playing and Kuzma was in the starting lineup. I don't think the issue is necessarily that he was starting, but he played most of his minutes today, maybe even all of them, at his natural power forward position, which I think is a bigger story there. The first two games, I think they exclusively played him at center. And that's just something he can't do. He's not going to be able to defend well enough, and it's going to tire him out so much that he's not doing what he does best offensively.
Yeah, and I think with Kuzma offensively, we saw just kind of a little bit of everything today. I mean, we saw him drop, I think he had three assists. Yeah, three assists, grabbed eight rebounds. I think the big thing for him, I mean, obviously he got a number of shots in the paint going towards the rim. Mm-hmm. And playing next to LeBron, that stuff is going to happen. But I think a big thing for him was he finally made some threes.
Yeah,
first two games he was against Portland, he was 1-for-7. And then against Houston, he was 1-for-5. Tonight, he was 4-for-10. So, I mean, not like scorching the net or anything, but you'll take 40% from three all day. And the Lakers certainly need the three-point shooting because it's been a struggle so far. And, you know, I've kind of been saying that the first two games is that, you know, he's got to make threes. He's got to make threes when they're open because he's one of their more reliable shooters. And I think that's going to be big for him in terms of his scoring production and his efficiency if he's able to knock down threes because he's going to have open looks. Play next to a guy like LeBron James and playmakers like Lonzo Ball, Rajon Rondo, and so on and so forth. You're going to have open looks from the perimeter, so you got to be able to knock those down. But, yeah, Kuzma was fantastic tonight. 37 points. I said this before we went on. I mean, I feel like it's the most like not talked about 37 point game that I can remember, maybe because of how crazy the game was, just, you know, all the events that took place, but 37 points from Kuzma, I mean, on 15 to 25 shooting, that's a hell of a game from Kuz. Can't ask for much more from him. I'm in really out of a second year player in general. So, big credit to Kuzma tonight. He was fantastic. So, Jacob, do you have any additional thoughts on Kuzma, or what else is a big takeaway for you tonight? Like I said, just with a game like that, there is a lot to kind of process.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out one thing to take away, one kind of point. There's so much. I think I'd probably just settle in on the defense, which was really bad. I think at times I will say that the Spurs hit some contested shots, but the Lakers kind of allowed the entire team basically to get into a rhythm early, and then it's really hard to break a team out of that rhythm. Spurs shot 51% from the field, 53.6% from three. And they had a true shooting percentage of 62.9. I think the Lakers figured out a lot of things offensively, especially Jonathan Williams tonight. I think they got a lot of things working defense or offensively, but it really doesn't matter if you can't get defensive stops, especially down the stretch. And that was the big thing tonight. They even got bailed out when they were making the run at the end of the fourth. They gave up a wide open corner three that missed. So they even were getting away with stuff like that. So I know it's a new team, new group of players that are learning one another, but there's no excuse for some of the things they were doing. Like, it's a wide open corner three and nobody ran out to cover it. And that was a lineup that had Hart, Lonzo, and Kuzma in it. Mm-hmm. So it's those types of things that are really frustrating because the signs offensively tonight were really great, but it really didn't matter because they couldn't stop the Spurs at all.
Yeah, as great as Kuzma was, I did notice a couple of possessions where he's over-helping when he really doesn't need to, which frees up shooters on the perimeter. So, I mean, there's still some habits to break on the defensive side of the ball, really for all these guys. I mean, you know, I don't like to look at number of points in a game, but, I mean, I don't care how fast you're playing, 142 points in a game.
Yeah.
And it was, what, 128, I think, at the end of regulation. It's just tough to win games like that. It's tough to win games when you give up that many points. And I mean, it took a ridiculous rally at the end of, you know, the fourth quarter. I think the Lakers went on an 8-0 run in the last minute, capped by a LeBron, I don't know, 30 footer, you know, to force overtime. So two takeaways from me tonight. Jacob, you mentioned Jonathan Williams. He was fantastic. I mean, he played really, really well. Kind of out of nowhere, he was much better than Zubats. I mean, Zubats was clearly outmatched up against LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, really, the Lakers just struggle with him all night, and it seems like they always kind of do. I mean, he's just a tough cover. He's a really good player. But Jonathan Williams was fantastic. I mean, his hustle, his energy, his defense. I've been really impressed with his defense. His ability to kind of switch a little bit was the most surprising thing, you know, because I'd seen him at Gonzaga, and I didn't really think he was very, like, light-footed or anything. But I think he's worked hard at that, and he's gotten better defensively. Had a couple of really nice contests at the rim, especially on DeRozan. So Jonathan Williams was sensational tonight. I'm really happy for him because, you know, he played really well. And I think, you know, if he's able to kind of maintain that level of play or that level of effort, you know, at least until Mo Wagner gets back, the Lakers might have a backup center. But it's early, so we'll see if he's able to sustain that play. But he's definitely earned another, you know, a deeper look, you know, somebody that should get more playing time, you know, for the foreseeable future. Until really proven otherwise. So, and my other takeaway, speaking of playing time, is that Josh Hart needs to start. I think he has been fantastic. I mean, I still think defensively, I think people kind of, there is kind of a little, I think the perception of his defense is a little bit off. You know, he allows a little, you know, straight line drives that I'd like to see him kind of clean that up. But I mean, his hustle, his effort, his energy, the guy just makes winning plays. You know, he's just the perfect role player that you want on a playoff team, on a championship team. Not saying the Lakers are a championship team this year. They're certainly not one right now, but the guy just makes big plays. I mean, 4 for 7 from the 3-point line tonight. He had 10 rebounds, 2 steals, only 2 personal fouls, 20 points on 8 of 14 shooting. He was outstanding. Outstanding. I mean, that play that, you know, he was kind of trapped on the baseline after getting the rebound, and he kind of overthrew LeBron, but Lonzo made a great play to save it inbounds to LeBron, who then got an and one. You know, just those type of plays. Those are what you're getting out of Josh Hart. And quite frankly, right now, I don't know what we're getting out of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You know, if he's not hitting 3-point shots, you know, he's got ability as a defender, but we're just really not seeing a whole lot out of him right now. You know, I don't know if it's just getting acquainted to all the roster turnover, all the new faces and things like that. But, you know, hopefully he's able to get it going. And, you know, he's the same player that we saw for a good portion of last year once the legal issue thing was all wrapped up. So I think Josh Hart needs to start. Maybe that's just me. He played, I think, 38 minutes tonight. So if he doesn't start and if he plays a lot of minutes, I mean, I guess that's – I'll take it. But I think you got to find ways to just get him on the floor. You know, he's such a versatile player, you know, and he's only 6'4". He plays like he's about 6'8". So, yeah, another one of the Lakers youngsters that was just incredible tonight. And I think he's definitely earned some more playing time moving forward. And I'd love to see him in the starting lineup, especially – I mean, I don't know if Rondo starts when he comes back. I would think he does because he's not out for very long. But let's get Josh Hart in there. Let's try a different look and see how that works. But
I think it's a better fit for both parties. Like, the next – Ingram's got 3 more game suspension. So the next 3 games are going to be kind of wonky. But when everybody comes back, like, a second unit of Rondo with, like, shooters around him, KCP and Kuzma and Mo Wagner eventually, Svi played tonight, and then KCP, that should work. And whereas Hart can step into the starting lineup, and we saw how good he looked with those starters tonight. So I know Luke said that it's too early for starting lineup changes, but man, this is 2 of the 3 games Josh Hart's looked incredible. And KCP, I think he's mainly just in a shooting slump and kind of a confidence slump. We saw what happened when that in December of last year. But, I mean, it's 3 games. I don't want to, like, give up on him or anything. But Hart, I think right now, gives you a better chance to win right now. And the Lakers are a team vying for the playoffs, and they need all of the wins right now.
And I think what makes sense is I don't think KCP has necessarily had, like, bad games, like the kind of bad games he had last year where he was doing too much. is that he just has been kind of absent. Like, you just don't notice him at all on the court.
Right.
I could see like him being on the like the bench lineups. They need him a little bit more. They need his scoring a little bit more. Maybe that gets his confidence going. And then Hart is kind of the opposite, where he kind of gets his own, gets himself involved just through like hustle and kind of the little dirty plays that, and that ends up with leading to him actually scoring and doing everything else. So I could see why like Hart starting would be beneficial for both.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the question I would have is if Hart and Kuzma continue to play this way the next couple games while Rondo and Ingram are suspended, you know, I think Ingram's pretty much I think Ingram's a lock to be a starter when he comes back, no matter what the circumstances are. I still have a hard time thinking that Rondo is going to start throughout the course of the season. Mm-hmm. But if Hart starts, I mean, and Kuzma is still playing the way he's playing, do you guys see any scenario where they find a way to get both of those guys to start, and maybe you bring Lonzo and Rondo off the bench or you know, something like that? You basically run, I guess, LeBron or Ingram at point, you know? I mean, is that not realistic, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's matchup dependent. Yeah. One thing, and I mean, I think you only do that if Lonzo is really struggling shooting. I think that as a lineup might work. I think it would work. I don't know that it would work as a starting lineup, because those lineups tend to play together more often. But I mean, depending on the matchup and how guys are playing, I'm open to about anything this year. Whatever puts us in the best position to win a game. LeBron's about the only guy, probably Ingram at this point too, that I would lock into the starting lineup. And other than that, you can mix and match whatever pieces that Luke thinks will get the Lakers closer to a win.
Yeah, I think unless you're playing a team that goes small really from the get-go, I think JaVale's pretty much a lock to start at center too. Right. I mean, unless Jonathan Williams keeps establishing himself as a max contract player. But no, I mean, I think JaVale's pretty much a lock to start. I think JaVale, LeBron, and Ingram, I mean, that's your starting front court. The backcourt, I mean, you could go a number of different ways. I mean, you could start Lonzo, you can start Rondo, you can start Hart. I think Hart should start. I mean, I don't think he will, because like you guys mentioned, Luke has said it's a little too early for starting lineup changes, but I think Hart should have been starting anyways. I mean, but we don't see these guys in practice every day, so it's tough to say what, you know, KCP has played like in practice, and you know, if he's kind of earned those starting minutes. But I don't know, but it's just frustrating, you know. I obviously, you know, with the Lakers, you get LeBron, there's all this excitement, you want them to get off to a fast start, and I think, you know, we kind of banged that drum pretty heavily in preseason and during the summer that the Lakers were probably going to start slow. You know, it's tough to incorporate, you know, the best player in the world, you know, when you didn't have him previously, and there's a lot of other new faces with them. So unfortunately, this is kind of part of it, but
I think it hurts the way they've lost, because they've been close in every game. Like, well, if you'd have told me we were 0-3 after these games before the year, I would have probably believed you. It's just, these have been some tough losses.
Yeah. And the, you know, another reason to be optimistic is, you know, all three of the teams that they've played to this point were playoff teams in the Western Conference last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Portland, winning at Portland is very tough for any team, except for the Washington,
for the Lakers.
Except for the Wizards, apparently, because the Wizards got it done. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough part of their schedule, luckily, and we'll talk about this in a second. They get the Phoenix Suns next, but it is a road game. I mean, winning on the road in the NBA is never really easy. So, you know, I think there's still a ton to be optimistic about. For me, I mean, the fact that the offense has clicked so well this fast is very encouraging. I love the pace that the Lakers play at, you know, and I think, I mean, the Portland game, I mean, I was at the game, and like, it was so frustrating because, you could just see the Lakers had open looks in that game. They had a lot of open looks, especially from the 3-point line. They just shot very, very poorly. And, you know, a lot of people think that they're not going to be a very good shooting perimeter shooting team this year. And that might be the case, but that game was, you know, below what really any NBA team is going to be. I mean, they didn't hit a three until like midway through the third quarter, I think. So, or maybe late in the third quarter, but yeah, I mean, it's a tough start to the schedule, 0-3, but you've played three good teams. You've competed in all three games. You know, you had a chance in the fourth quarter to try and go win the game all three times, and you come up short, you know, so it is what it is.
They've done that all without LeBron being LeBron. Like, he's been good, but he hasn't had, like, dominant LeBron yet. And, I mean, I know everybody's, like, I don't want to talk about all the idiots on Twitter who will say the Mamba mentality nonsense and all that, but I do think LeBron kind of plays this stuff mentally in that, like, he's trying to defer to teammates most of the time. Mm-hmm. Trying to get guys' confidence up before like actually taking over games. I think you could see kind of towards the end of the game where he wasn't fully trusting of his teammates yet, especially that last shot. Everybody's complaining about him not driving further in, but I don't see how he could have. There were literally two guys guarding him, but he could have passed Alonzo. Obviously, if that shot doesn't go in, people are still going to complain about why LeBron is passing. Kobe would never do that, etc.
Yeah.
But you can kind of see that, like, he's kind of he's walking that line of trying to defer to teammates, make sure they get their confidence going and improving before the playoffs hopefully start for the team, and also trying to, like, work with how much he trusts these guys, how comfortable he is playing with them, etc.
Yeah, and I think that's important for the long run, is, you know, to have those young guys, you know, instilled with confidence in those big moments, to that they can make plays and they don't have to, you know, grab a rebound and immediately find 23, you know. Yeah. Like, they can just play, just go out and play, just try and make the right play. You don't have to get the ball to LeBron. I mean, obviously you probably put yourself in a favorable position if you do, but you know, I think it's important to get the confidence up for the young guys, especially in those moments. And, you know, I think we've seen the last couple years that Brandon Ingram is a guy that's not afraid of that moment. You know, he has been a willing, you know, a guy that's willing to go get the basketball and try and make a play in those moments. So not having him tonight really hurt in that aspect. And I don't really think that's an issue for him, but it's also, and I don't really know if it's an issue for, you know, the other young guys, because I think Kuzma's pretty fearless player. Lonzo is the one guy that I'm kind of questioning, because he had a number of plays tonight where he should have shot the ball, but didn't. Passed up some good shots. One was a layup right at the rim that he threw out.
That one was the worst one.
So, I mean, I don't think Hart is afraid to take the last shot. I mean, I don't think any of these guys are really afraid or anything. But it's, you know, just, I think it's just kind of instilling that mindset to just make the right play. You know, read and react. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just get the ball to LeBron and then get out of the way, because, you know, As great as Kobe was in those type of situations, you know, there were also times where it wasn't the right play. You know, mm-hmm. It was a great player having to make a ridiculous play in that situation, because they just cleared out and just let a guy go one-on-one. And that's not usually what you want to do unless you get some kind of mismatch. But, you know, it's going to be a learning experience for this team, like we said. They've played three good teams, lost three very close games, had chances. And those games are going to turn into wins at some point. You know, I mean, I firmly believe that. And if they don't, then the Lakers are in trouble. But I really believe that those types of games are going to turn into wins. I mean, honestly, it should have tonight. You know, they pretty much did everything they could to give that one away in overtime. So, still tough, man.
I was just going to add real quick, they just tweeted out during the game the 41 fast break points they had tonight, which is absurd. It was one shy of the franchise record. This team is still getting out yeah. and running it at a breakneck pace. And a lot of times that's what's keeping them in the game because they're just so damn good in the fast break. Even then, the pace of tonight's game was 102.79, which is the Lakers coming in were playing at a pace of 112 possessions. So it was actually a little slower, or quite a bit slower than what they had been playing. But yeah, the numbers to this game were weird. Pau Gasol had a 142.5 defensive rating. Patty Mills had a 141.5.
That's about what I would do on defense.
Ivica Zubats had a 127.3 defensive rating and a 154.5 offensive rating. You would not do that on offense, Gary.
I demand a recount on that.
He wasn't even the best or the highest tonight because Lance Stevenson in 18 minutes had a 157.9 offensive rating.
That is the perfect like encapsulation of how drunk this game was.
Yes, 100%. That he had a 110.3 defensive rating and a net rating of 47.6. This game was very drunk. It was an experience. Hopefully we're done with experiences like that because I can't take 79 more of those plus the playoffs.
You better buckle up, boys. all right. So next up on the schedule is the Phoenix Suns. The Lakers will go to Phoenix on Wednesday. Game tips off at 7 o'clock Pacific time. Ani, I'm just going to throw it to you point blank. Are the Lakers going to get their first win on Wednesday?
God, I hope so. I would imagine they do. At this point, I'm not really expecting anything just because all these games have been so close and for a variety of reasons, and every game has had a couple of issues that have been recurring, and I don't know how quickly they can fix them. Phoenix isn't a very good team, but in the Western Conference on the road, the Suns, the Kings, whoever can beat you on any given night. So I wouldn't put it past them to lose it, but I would imagine that they can win this one for sure.
Jacob, do you agree, or do you see the Lakers dropping to 0-4?
Boy, if they lose that game, I might have to just delete Twitter for a while or something because the takes are already bad enough tonight.
You can do that anyways if you want. College basketball season's coming up, so I'd really appreciate it if you would delete your Twitter.
I need to remind you every time Zion dunks this season. Which at their current rate, he'll be a Laker next year. So
I know we're tanking for the number one pick.
I think they'll win. But I also expect Devin Booker to have like 75 points or something probably tomorrow or Wednesday, whenever. With the way this defense is playing, I don't have a ton of faith in them right now, but the Suns aren't quite as good as any of the three teams we've played so far. So I really hope we get that.
I'll say this. History tends to repeat itself. The Lakers got their first win last year at Phoenix, and that's going to happen again this year.
Hell yeah.
Lonzo went off in that game. Lakers, that was a fun game too. I think it was like 127 to 122 or something like that.
Chandler just gave up playing defense at the end of the game. It was really cool.
If that was like the score last year, I can't imagine. I mean, it's going to be like first one to 160 wins that game. So no, but I agree. I mean, I do think the Lakers are going to get a win in Phoenix. I don't think it's going to be easy. You know, I mean, Phoenix, I don't think is a very good team this year. They're very young. But I think it's still going to be hard. Like I said earlier, winning on the road is hard in the NBA. It's hard in professional sports. But I will say, I just don't see LeBron letting this team drop to 0-4. You know, I didn't think he would let them drop to 0-3 tonight, but free throw.
To be fair, he hit like a 35-foot pull-up three to force overtime.
So that is true. That is a
he probably did his part tonight.
Yeah, which was crazy because he didn't do hardly anything in the first half in terms of scoring. I think he had 4 points at the half and then just exploded in the second half. But I think he puts it all together against Phoenix, and it'll be interesting to see him. I mean, because they have Trevor Ariza now. So, but yeah, I think the Lakers are going to win that game. I have a really hard time seeing LeBron letting the team drop to 0-4, and he's still good enough to single-handedly just take over a game and impose his will on an inferior opponent like Phoenix and make sure that the Lakers get a win. So fingers crossed. If not, it's going to be a very sad podcast on Wednesday night.
Plus, it'll be a good audition for February Lakers signees Trevor Ariza and Tyson Chandler.
I mean, do we really need Tyson Chandler now that we got the legend Jonathan Williams?
Good point.
Yeah. You know, I can't disagree. You're right.
Tyson Chandler is cable Jonathan Williams.
I will say if we lose Wednesday's game, we should probably start bringing back the Tankathon lottery sim at the end of every podcast.
No, the issue here, I didn't want to bring this up, honey, but the Lakers are 0-3 with you tweeting the games, right?
Yeah, I know.
We got to get someone else on the Twitter account.
All right. So speaking of this, first of all, I kicked both of your asses last year in this department.
It's a new year, honey.
New year, new us.
I've been meaning to do this for the last couple of podcasts, but I keep forgetting. The past 2 years, we wanted to do like a bet for whoever has the worst record at the end of the year tweeting results, but we never know what to do. So I need people to actually give us suggestions. Just hit us up on Twitter or emails or whatever. We'll do anything reasonable. We're not streaking, but pretty much anything else is reasonable.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get like the little like black censored bar live on the pod. That might be an issue, but
listen, we will be fighting over who gets to tweet the Suns. I'm playing this strategically.
Tell you what, if you want to submit your idea on what the loser has to do, the person with the worst record tweeting the games, submit it in an iTunes review. Leave us a review on iTunes for the podcast, Lakers Outsiders. And submit your idea on what the loser has to do, and we will definitely write it down. It'll be taken note of, and it will definitely be in consideration when game number 82 rolls around. So, yeah. Gotta say, Jacob and I are feeling pretty good right now because Hani's 0-3. It's a long season.
We're gonna let Hani take all these L's early on, and then.
Let Hani tweet like the first 10 to 15 games. So.
Basically, what's happening is that I'm LeBron and I'm deferring to my teammates right now. I'm taking the losses on me just so you guys get your confidence and then we'll have a fair fight.
You're Ivica Zubac because you're not doing anything about it. Oh, wow. Okay. We're done. We're not going to make this podcast an experience just like the game tonight. But yeah, no, this was fun. I mean, the game was fun. The end result sucked, but the game was a lot of fun, a lot of good moments. So hopefully plenty more to come and hopefully, some Laker wins to come. Hopefully one shows up on Wednesday. Maybe if we get Hani off the Twitter account, during the game, we'll finally get one, but, to be decided. So like I said, leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to submit your idea on what the loser has to do, do it that way. Leave us a review on iTunes and put it in there, and we will definitely take note of it. As always, you can, like I said, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. The podcast is always on there, on YouTube as well, and on Podbean. You can find all of our stuff on LakersOutsiders.com, of course, and on Twitter and Facebook, and on Instagram. So we are everywhere. You can find us wherever. So follow us, like us, do all that fun stuff. Got plenty of podcasts coming after games and more content coming your guys' way. So hopefully we're doing this after a win on Wednesday. But if not, we'll still be here. We'll just start calling these group therapy sessions, I guess. So thank you to everybody that tuned in. We appreciate you listening. For Hani Amadian and Jacob Rude, this is Gary Kester signing off.
Shout out Sasha Vujacic.